Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
As you know, I'll be leaving. I'll be going to Botswana, Africa. I'll leave tomorrow. I'll probably get there sometime Wednesday night. And then I'll be doing preaching all over that nation. And then going from there to the Kigoma region, which is a very troubled area. It's where Burundi, Tanzania, Congo all come together, and Christians are getting killed there left and right just because of what they believe. It's just a terrible area. So I'm expecting great things, because where there's great persecution, there's great miracles. You know, we live in a comfortable life. Therefore, we rely on doctors more than we do on God sometimes. We rely on our bankers more than we do on God sometimes. We rely on, you know, these people don't have any of these things. They're walking from their village now to hear me preach in 2 weeks. Okay? That's people that are hungry. They're hungry for the Word of God. And I want to thank you for lending me to the world. Not many pastors have that type of church, where they can pick up and they can go. And where I go, you go. Every one of you. A lot of you support Paul Gray International Ministries on a monthly, but I thank you so much. And but it's not a small thing that you guys are encouraging me to go, and it's not lost on me. I thank you so much. Oh, with that being said, it's time to do more. Y'all have never heard that from me before, I'm sure. But on this trip, I'm also putting together a trip, church-wide trip to Botswana for 2020. I've got some other churches that are wanting to go, and so I've already got a guy that's going to organize it, going to line everything up. I'm going to kind of to see what we're going to be doing, what the needs are, things like that. But I'm telling you, anybody can serve in this place that we're going. It's they've got children's ministry, they got an orphanage, they've got schools, they've got, if you want to be a preacher, you want to go to Bible school, they got villages. They'll drop you off there and leave you there with an interpreter. You know, that's fun stuff. Maybe not for some of you, but it's fun stuff. I've done it. You know, living in a mud hut for a week and eating. God. Going out and searching for water and bringing it back and boiling it. Doesn't that sound like fun? Sounds like prison, yeah. Prison life is good compared to what some of these people live through. But, you know, it's not all that way. But what I'm saying is, you can reach across the world and change someone's life. Amen? Okay. Now, I get into my message. How many of y'all are here for Paul Floyd the other night, Wednesday night? He was awesome. Paul said something that, man, I never heard it put the way he put it. He said, there's a distinct difference between a believer and a follower. And there is. Followers make good leaders. Believers become bitter because they never achieve all that they were supposed to achieve when they were sent here from heaven. Because they become bitter because they believe, but they're not doing anything. They're hearers, therefore they become talkers. Everybody, we don't have them here, but in churches I've been in the past, now I'm not talking serious, we don't have one of these. If we did, I would call them out. I would. But, you know, bitter old Christians that sit around and criticize everything that somebody else is doing, because they never achieved anything for the kingdom of God, and they don't know what that feels like, and the bitterness just eats at them. It's truth. Am I lying? That's the reason. They're not followers. They are believers. They'll never become disciples. They'll become rich young rulers. They'll become the people that you don't even know their name. They never make a mark on somebody's life. They're not going to be history makers and world shakers and all of those catchy little cliches that we have. They're not going to do it because they don't put in the time to learn how to follow, to learn how to lead, to become a disciple and change the world. My God, I'm from Castor, Louisiana, and I preached on 5 continents. From Castor. Come on, I know some Castor people here. You know, you can do anything. There's nothing that's outside of your reach because it's not you that's doing it. It's the Jesus that's in you doing it. You can go to great, great places. Do great, great things. The first thing that we need to learn how to do, and I know this is a strange thing for me to say because we don't have this problem, but I want you to understand, I don't know who this is for, but it's for several people. But you know, before the heavens and the earth, the angels all got together and they had election and said, hey, we're going to make him God. Right? Isn't that how it works? God just was God, and he created them to worship him. And some of them pulled out, and now that's when we've got devil and demons, right? That's the way the church works. It's not a democracy. There's not a church in the Bible that voted. Not a one. I'm losing. I'm getting ahead of you. The 12 tribes of Israel got together and said, you know what, we need to be delivered. And there's a guy over on the other side of the desert over there. He's got a speech impediment, but I think he's our guy. Somebody go get him and tell him to come deliver us. His name is Moses. Is that how that worked? Did somebody vote and make Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It didn't happen that way. It's just not the way it happens. But who made the Apostle Paul the head of the New Testament church in the second half of Acts? Nobody had a vote. Peter knew that his time as the leader of the New Testament church was up and turned it over to Paul because Paul had got Jesus had spent 3.5 years with him in the Sahara Desert alone and showed him how the church was to be set up, and it was supposed to be set up exactly the way that the kingdom is set up. That's the way churches don't have a kingdom mentality because they don't have their church doesn't act like the kingdom is supposed to act. I don't know why I'm saying these things, but I'm saying them. You know, it's go to Ephesians 4. I got to have something to back this up, right? And he himself, talking about Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. That is called the fivefold ministry. Okay? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. When there is a problem, when I have a need, I contact at least one of each of these to find out what's going on. Hey, because he created all five of us for the same purpose, I need their perspective. I don't do anything without talking to my man of God, Chris Lewis. There's something big going on. I do things, but if it's something big, he's my prophet. He's your prophet. He is the guy that I talk to. People say, well, why do you have to talk Chris about? He's my guy. He's my guy. I talk to Philip Baker. He's my evangelist. You know, I talk to Jim Hockaday. He's my evangelist. You know, I mean, every single one of these, Every single one. I do that. Why? Because I need them. If you don't have all of those voices banging in your church, you're not going to have a church. It's just not going to happen. So, next verse. Why are these fivefold ministry? Three reasons. For the equipping of the saints. You are the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. It's not just God that equips the saints. It's the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. It's our job. Everybody on this row, me, Greg, Chris, you know, on and on and on, Mike, it goes on and on. Our job, part of our job, is to equip you. God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost have equipped you. Amen? The Holy Spirit has given you every gift that you need to succeed in life. And not just succeed, thrive. I mean thrive in life. But somehow we, the fivefold ministry's job is to help develop that thing in you sometimes that you can't get out. Are you understanding? You're following me at all? Are we getting anywhere? Gosh, I hope so. So why should we equip you? For the work of the ministry that you do. Who painted this room? Wasn't me. Who did these floors? It wasn't me. I got the building, but then I was told to get out of it by my wife so they could get things done. You know? To equip you to do the work of the ministry and you edify the church. When you do the work of the ministry, you edify the church. What is equipment? I wrote it down somewhere. My gosh, where is it? There they are. Equip to supply the necessary items for a particular purpose. Those items are already in you. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it's in you. But to help bring that thing out, we need help. I need help. My gosh, if it wouldn't have been for Rob Carman, I never would have got out of anywhere. But he's a hard pastor. You don't want a guy like that pastoring you. And that's why I feel sorry for the people that I pastor, because I'm a lot like him. And he told me the other day, he said, I need you to go spend some time with a friend of mine in San Diego. I said, who? He said, Jürgen Mathias. I said, I've heard of him. He said, he went, started C3 San Diego, and with one building. Now he's got four campuses. He's doing four services in each campus every Sunday with over 1,000 people in each service. He said, and y'all are just exactly alike except for one thing. And that's what I want you to go and stay with him for. I said, What? He said, your biggest weakness is his biggest strength. I said, what's that? He said, you don't encourage your people enough. This guy's the best encourager I've ever been around. He said, I know you don't encourage your people enough. He said, because I didn't. And I could have been better. Part of our job is to encourage you to get busy. You're to encourage to look at the things that you've done and say, you know what, Justin, you did a good job. Justin went with me 2 years ago. Had spent his 25th birthday in Africa. Amen. You know, that's not a small thing. To leave your wife and my 25, my gosh, you know. 25 years old and leave your wife and go to Africa with me. I left him alone for like 4 days, went and played golf after I was finished, just to do it, just to see what he'd do. It was depressing. He said, he was never so glad to see me in all his life. No. But, you know, to encourage you that you're doing a good job. You know, we can do more. I always say that. But you are God's best. You are who God put before me to help me do what I need to do so I can help you do what you need to do. It works both ways. If you understand this as church government, because that's what that is, you understand more than 95% of denominational people in the world. That you don't hire me, you don't fire me. I don't work for you, I work for you. And that you work for me. I know that you're praying while I'm gone. Not a doubt in my mind. Okay, I got to get off that. I can't. Your purpose is not for you, it's for the work of the ministry. That's pretty good. My purpose is to equip you and add growth to the body as a whole, not just to this body of believers, but to bodies of believers around the world. That's my job. I'm just doing this, explaining it to me. The problem that Ginger and I run into more than any other is this one. Have somebody that's going through something, and they get through it, man, and they're doing great. We talked about this the other day. And they're doing great. And all of a sudden, 6 months later, they're right back where they were, except they're worse. All right, here we go. And we start over. And 6 months later, we start over. And then maybe a year later, we start over. We don't stop, but it gets old. I don't have as much patience with as Ginger does. But it's usually, not always, but it's usually one of two things. Fear or low self-esteem. They think they're not good enough to do things. Their identity problem. Or they're scared. They're fear. They have fear in them. Gosh, this is going to sound so bad. Let me find another. Please show me another way to say this, God. You know. All right, I'll put it this way. This is a good way to do it. My thought's always the same. Why can't they all be marvelly? Marvelly was so bound by fear, she didn't leave her house forever. It was in a year, wasn't it? In a year. Yeah. Now, she's through that thing, and when you walk in our church office, the first person you see is Marvelly, and she's always smiling. And she's always willing to help. We don't have to go back and say, Marvelly, are you in there? Would you come out to work today, please? She's through it. Once she's got through it, she kept going. From faith to faith to glory, on and on and on. She didn't have to turn around and go back around the same mountain again. When you get delivered, you're delivered. I have a hard time with people that don't have that mentality, so I need to encourage more. There's a lot of work that needs to be done that wouldn't have been done if she'd have stayed in her house. But it's done now. It's done now. We need to quit going back to the same old thing, to that sin that so easily ensnares us. Get over it, move on, forget about it. Because if you reflect on it, it's going to come back how many times stronger? That's right. 7 times stronger. So we can't go back because it gets harder and harder to move forward because you focus more on the problem than the solution. Oh, thank you, God. That was totally better than what I had to say. My goodness. Jeff Ramsey told me this. Healed in Jesus' name. Jeff told me this. He said, Jeff and I have become close over the last few months, and he said he was in his recliner, and he's wanting God to deliver him from something. And God said, I'm not delivering you from anything till you know why you're here. He said it took him another 6 months to figure out why he was there, and then God delivered him. God said, he said, I got to think about it. He said, the Israelites, they didn't know why they were getting delivered. That's the reason they had to roam around for 40 years before they could step over into what God had for them. He had to show them that they had no faith in Him, so He had to show them that He would provide for them every day, and it took them 40 years to learn that lesson. Exactly 10% of the time that they were enslaved. There's something to be said there, but I'm not preaching it. I got a picture to show you. This is one of my... I'm getting on, I'm a sports guy. I got a picture I want to show you. Where is it at? There it is. Anybody know who this is? Jim Thorpe. I saw this on Facebook and I thought it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And Jim Thorpe, 1912, Indian. Look at his shoes. This is the day that he won 2 gold medals. And somebody stole his shoes that night. And he went looking for shoes. You can't run track without shoes. So he found two different sized shoes, in garbage cans scattered around the Olympics. And one of them was so much bigger than the other one, he had to put on like 3 pairs of socks. You see that one? You see what I'm talking about? You know? And the other one had a hole in the bottom, so somebody had thrown it out. And so anyway, he just put on those shoes and went out and won 2 gold medals. What did you get up with this morning? What issue did you have before you got here? A good thing to know is you don't have to go digging through the garbage to find it because the Holy Spirit of God lives within inside of you. Are you following me? You don't have to dig through the garbage for your success. You don't have to go and look at the world for answers to get to your issues. The issues can be handled internally. And if you can't get to that, that's what the fivefold ministry is to help you do. Get through those things. Whatever issues you have. I just thought that was the coolest thing ever when I saw that. But this next one is a video. I want you to turn down the lights. I want y'all to watch this video. This is so cool.
Equaling the world record. And now he can't. Jesse Owens to the fore as a man who essentially stuck a thumb in the eye of the Nazi leader and his theories of Aryan superiority.
As an African American, all of us shared the snubbery by Hitler of Jesse Owens. Jesse was ours. He was us. He was me. And when Hitler snubbed him, he snubbed every one of us.
Jesse Owens. That wasn't the only gold medal he won. He won 4 gold medals in 1936 Berlin Olympics. Went into Nazi Germany.
Jesse Owens would be the greatest athlete at a great track school, but there's still race. Outside of track, there's still certain things that you cannot do because you are a black person.
Not they would cover many miles going from one track meet to another, mainly
in there. And when Jesse Owens won, he walked out the back door. You heard what he says. I would never allow a picture be taken with me shaking hands with the back. The master race. Let me ask you this. What if you were in Jesse Owens' position, knowing the world stage? You think you'd be a little bit scared? You think a little bit of fear might just somehow come up? Fear is an emotion that cannot control you without your own permission. That's why FDR said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. It's only an emotion. It can't control you without you giving it permission to control you. There's nothing that I'm not scared to do. There's things that I don't do because it's just stupid. And sometimes I do stupid things anyway. But I never allow fear to enter into a decision that I ever make. That is foolish. It's not godly, it's ungodly. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. But you think that, I think I might have been a little bit nervous until that gun went off and I could run. If I could run like that guy, you know. Did you know that Jim Thorpe and Jesse Owens, when they competed in the Olympics, neither one of them even had the right to vote in this nation. And they went and they represented that nation anyway. Is that not amazing? But now, when things don't go your way, you take a knee. Colin Kaepernick, look at Jesse Owens. Look at Jim Thorpe. Look at what American heroes do. Not cowards. They probably knocked me off of Facebook when I said that. Good things happen when we refuse to quit. I quit one time for about 4 hours. And a man named Paul Trochel showed up. And most of y'all know the story. I mean, I was done. I'd had enough. There's only a few people here, but that remember that. But I was done. People would come to the church, and I'd start preaching. I'd go, "Oh God," because I was bitter. There was unforgiveness. There was bitterness. I was just done. I said, I can't lead people like this, and I can't get right. I can't. But and Paul Trocher came in, and that guy lined me out, and things turned around that day. It turned around that day. Matthew 24:13, I think. Yeah, 24:13 says that those that endure until the end will be saved, not quitters. No, don't quit. endure whatever comes your way, and you will come out on top. Every single time. Every single time. Because we are a peculiar people. We're born again, spirit-filled believers. If we don't quit, the devil just, you know. They were talking that that baby was, Sandra's grandbaby, they wasn't going to make it through the night or whatever it was. And I just sent Sandra a text. I said, poor devil, just don't have a chance. You know? When we pray, we move mountains. Amen. When we pray and we invoke the name of Jesus, He will move heaven and earth.
Right.
If you're a follower, a disciple, a leader, not just a believer. See, these signs follow them that believe. They don't follow them that don't. Okay, I said that without. Yes, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's time to learn how to make hard choices and stick with them. Not, okay, I'm going to do this, and then not stay with it. If you make a decision to do something for the kingdom of God, if you make a decision to do something for your wife, or stick to it. Don't stop for any reason. Make the hard choice and stick to it. The Apostle Paul was one of the most persecuted men that ever lived. Oh, you mean right? My gosh, listen, there's a list this long, and the Bible, all stuff that happened to him, you know, and when it came time for his death, his words spoke volume. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 and 7. This is Paul, who's about to be executed, and he said, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure." He didn't say my death. He said my departure. My departure. My time to go see Jesus is at hand. For I fought the good fight. First of all, you got to know that you're in one. And that it's good. It's good to fight. If you're not a fighter, you're not a very good soldier. There's never been an admiral made during a calm sea. There's never been a good general made without wartime. It's a fight, but it's a good fight. It's not a bad fight. It's a good fight. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. And I have kept the faith. And he goes on to talk about heaven. Now he's so ready to get there. Man, I've been around people that died. And I've been around people like this when they died. They were ready. Come on, Lord. You know what I mean? They were excited. And I've seen some that were scared to death. I've seen some that were just unsure. You know, the unsure ones bothered me more than the scared ones, because they were followers, and I mean, they were believers and not followers. They weren't disciples. They weren't disciples, so they were really unsure. They're standing on one scripture to get them to heaven. You know, and maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't know. It's not my job to say. But it's time to put away our issues and get in this race that Paul's talking about. Get in the fight. Don't allow an issue to stop you from fighting. Don't allow an issue to stop you from competing in the race, because we are competing for souls. If you didn't know it, we are in a competition. And there's a winner and there's a loser. Don't lose. We're competing for souls every day. We're competing against TV. We're competing against radio, against social media. My God, against social media. Do I have to tell you everything you're competing against? Those are just things. We're competing against the devil for people's souls, for their health, for their well-being. It doesn't just stop at salvation. It starts. It's time to put away our issues and get in the race. Let's go to the place where we're competing for souls in this life. And let's finish strong. Let's finish strong. Let's not get in the middle of this thing and just kind of... Let's finish as strong as we start. Let's finish with more passion than when we began. You know the passion you had when you first got saved, first got filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh my God, I can't even paint him. Oh my God, I can't quit. I was praying in tongues. It's just the best feeling ever. You should have more passion in that at the end of your race than you should have at the beginning.
Amen.
If you don't, you're a believer, not a follower. You'll never become a leader, and you're never going to win your race. Amen. Stand to your feet. I'm done. Whew. Somebody give God a shout. Good God. Let's pray. Let's pray, Father.